Everybody, it's good to be here, and good that you're here as well. Nice to have every one of you here today. Can I just say, as a kickoff, on the Sunday, the 14th, when we meet at 3:30 in the afternoon, our plan is to do some activities and crafts in relation to the Christmas story, just to reinforce that and to help people find a way in before we gather for a service. So we need some people to help us put those on and help us out. So if you can help with that, I believe there's a sign-up sheet over on the notice board. Just pop your name down for 3:30 on the Sunday 14th. Any help will be appreciated. And there's going to be a number of different things going on, and you'll be able to take your pick, or we can assign you to something that you could really help us with. That would be really helpful. So we are in the beginning of the Advent season, and I wanted to, the theme that I've got for today is hope for the weary. Hope for the weary. And the Bible passage that we're taking that from is the prophet Isaiah. A long time, centuries before the birth of Jesus, that very first Christmas in the town of Bethlehem, Isaiah spoke these words. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read some verses together there that we're going to base our thoughts on for the next few minutes. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire, for to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Well, I wonder if as you sit here this morning, you maybe feel deep in your bones or within you, if you're not feeling maybe a little bit weary, no show of hands, a bit tired. Perhaps physically, you feel a little bit like, wow, I've been a lot going on. I just feel tired. Maybe mentally, haven't had time to process things, to look things over. It's been one heck of a year that just has had one thing after another that you haven't quite been able to say where it really sits in the whole scheme of things. Emotionally, well, where are you today? What's going on? It's okay. It's okay to be weary. because I think we've got a word here today for the weary, for those of us who find things wearing us down. I often feel that weariness. And I wonder sometimes where it's coming from. And I have to look deep within and reflect. Some of you will know right away, but I have to think very deeply about things in order to figure out where things are coming from and why I'm feeling the way I am. And I think there's a lot of reasons behind the weariness that we face at the current time. We're weary of the news. And I don't know if you've become a news avoider in this last year, but I have. I have cut down my intake of news because, frankly, I found it depressing. I found it annoying. I found that I was getting a bit ranty myself in response to it. And I was weary of that. I didn't want that. But, you know, it doesn't change the situation out there in the world, does it? It doesn't change what's going on globally and the difficulties that people are enduring. It just means I'm cutting myself off perhaps from a little bit of that. But I know there are terrible things going on and I'm weary of that. Weary perhaps also of tough circumstances, life changes and difficulties that we're facing. We've had a bit of that as a family this year. I know many of you have had too. And it's still ongoing for folks within our family here as the church. We're weary of that. We want it to change. We don't want that to have to stick with us. We're weary perhaps of ill health, of the struggles that brings to us, of not knowing the answers or the way out or how things are going to be resolved. And frankly, it is tiring. We're weary of challenging work or challenging relationships that just grind us down. We're weary, perhaps, of making ends meet. I know that's a difficulty for some. And it becomes ever more a tight thing as the prices every time we go to the shops just seem to be going up and up. And frankly, that's difficult. It's hard to make those ends meet, and perhaps you are feeling weary of that. Then the Apostle Paul actually speaks about a different kind of weariness. He speaks about a weariness of doing good, a weariness that can invade all of us, of serving, of doing good, and thinking, what's the point? Like all I do and I lay it all out and why is it always me? And you know those kind of questions. Perhaps some of you do. And you're weary of that. Well, bring all that weariness, the weariness that all of us have, bring it to the fore, because I think there's an answer here today. Because in one way or another, all of us have a sense of weariness, I think, somewhere. And in one way or another, all of us are in need of a break. All of us, and certainly some of you, are in desperate need of a break. And some are in desperate need of help. And all of us need some degree of help. And Isaiah speaks his message to those of us who are weary. He speaks a message first, if you notice, in verse 1, the very first verse that we read together. He speaks to those who are in gloom. I'm not particularly, I know some of you love this season of winter, and I do love winter, but I don't like the darkness. I much prefer light. And when it gets gloomy, I find my heart is a little bit of a struggle. I love the brightness of the sun low in the sky, and I don't mind it dazzling my eyes, but I struggle with the darkness and the fact that when we get to about 3:30, it's getting gloomy. To those who are living in gloom, Isaiah writes, to those unable to see far, to those who are robbed of the clarity of light, who can't find where it is they need to go. And then he writes also to those who were in distress. And that distress may be ongoing, so it may be to those who are in distress. Life can be, you see, so very distressing. We've got so much to lose, and it seems that we have to face losses all the time, that we have to deal with those losses. To those, also Isaiah writes, who have or who feel humbled. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. He writes to those who feel that humility, that things just don't seem to be the way they used to be, the way they were, or the way they should be. He writes to those, verse 2, the people walking in the darkness. I don't advise it. It's a tough thing to do. If you walk in the dark, take a light. Because if you walk in true darkness, you have to walk so slowly. You have to feel your way so carefully. Sensible people stop walking when it gets dark. But if you haven't arrived to where you need to be and the light goes, you have to carry on. But it's hard and it's exhausting because maybe you've been going through the whole day. To those of us who are weary, Isaiah has a special message of promise, a message of hope that shines like a light in the north for those of us here in Aberdeen this Advent. Isaiah and this season of Advent point us, the weary ones, towards hope. Let me outline the different hopes. There's first of all the hope of a newborn. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, a new child, a special child, a new generation is coming. We're not the last ones. We're not the ones on whom it all rests. There's a new beginning and new possibilities coming. And this child will somehow become, in a way that we can't hardly understand when we read these words at first, ours, to us. We're supposed to get, do you know, if a child comes to you, you get excited about it. If it's your child, you become excited about it. If it belongs somehow to your family. When my children were born, when my grandchildren are born, I got excited about that. And here is something to get excited about. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The hope of a newborn. And then I think in our political age, here's another fantastic hope that we desperately need to hold on to. The hope of a worthy and effective leader. Oh, man, how many times have you gone and cast that vote in the hope that you will get an effective leader? Or how many times have you gone and voted knowing that you will not get an effective leader, whatever happens? And we can become cynical, but here the gift to us is this child is born, the son is given, the government is going to be on his shoulders. He's going to bear responsibility. He is born to rule and not disappoint. I love that. I love that. We, it seems, live in an age where it's inevitable that we become disappointed in our politicians and our politics. And I think it's hard going for them because they are trying, I think many of them, their very hardest. I'm working to things, and I'm so grateful that on both sides of the political spectrum, well, not both, all sides of the political spectrum in the UK, there are people who know and love Jesus. And I trust that they are working the best that they can do in those things. But nevertheless, the hope of a worthy, effective leader is to be found, really, only in the promise that Isaiah speaks of. This leader promises to deliver. He really will deliver all the promises that are given. He's going to be a wonderful, he will be called a wonderful counselor. He's going to be insightful. He's going to be wise beyond all wisdom that you've known. He's going to be helpful in working out situations, giving guidance, directing things. A wonderful counselor, where the words spoken are golden and treasured and help all that hear them. He's going to be, and here's a wonderful thing, the mighty God. This child born to us, this son given to us, is powerful, is capable, is supreme. What he says happens. Nothing is above him or beyond him. He is the mighty God with power to deliver his promises. And this child is also, as he governs, going to be known as the Everlasting Father. Wow, that's a strange appellation for a child to inherit, isn't it? This mere child becomes the Everlasting Father. Unending. Unchanging, caring, loving, and, oh, with the Father's heart, so very responsible. Taking on all responsibilities. That's the hope of this child that has come to us, the hope of a worthy and effective leader. But there's more, because there's the hope of peace. And don't we live in a world that needs peace? We look at the situation in Gaza, and it's tragic and moves my heart when I see it, and that just that wasteland of what once used to be buildings and is now dust, and all the loss that everyone has faced. And then there's the situation that just seems to go on and on, like an open sore in the Ukraine. And then there's the tragedy of Sudan at the moment. And those are just the places that I know about, but I know there's many other places where people are desperate for peace. Peace that stops people fleeing their homelands, and peace that stops economic loss that comes with war. Peace that promotes well-being. Peace with God and with each other. Perhaps it's much more local, that peace that you need. Perhaps it's between you and a friend, or you and someone in your family. But we need peace, and this Prince of Peace is defined by it. He makes peace happen. Really makes peace happen. Doesn't just speak about it. He does it. He makes sure it happens. And not only does he make it, he keeps it, that peace. So there is the hope of peace in this child. And it goes on, there is also the hope of justice. He will reign on David's throne, verse 7, and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice. He's going to put things right. He's going to sort out the mess. Poverty, social deprivation, neglect, these things that we contribute a little into to help with. But we don't do anything but scratch the surface. We don't solve that problem. But when he comes in the fullness of his rule and reign, he's going to sort it out. He'll make sure these situations are dealt with justly, correctly, rightly. And then there's the hope of righteousness. That's a tougher one to get our heads around. Establishing it, upholding it with justice and righteousness. So it's something a bit different from justice. Justice is that right and wrong, the way things ought to be. But perhaps righteousness is more on that side of just the way everything really should be. The right way of being, the right way of doing, that rightness that each of us knows deep down should apply. And there is the hope of righteousness coming from this kingdom, and it spills out beyond the little one who grows up to be this incredible ruler. So just as Isaiah predicted, centuries later, and he was writing hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, centuries later, a child was born, and born to be king. The child who, when he was grown up, later said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." He's not just a distant ruler, high above us, ruling without any connection with each of us as individuals, but he comes also to each of us as individuals, and he says, "Andy, are you weary?" And I go, "Yes, Lord, I am weary." And he says, "Well, come to me, and I'll give you rest." And he comes to you in the same way. He comes to you, and he comes to you individually, each and every one of you, and he says, "Hey, are you weary today? Well, come to me. Come to me, because I've got the solution for that. I can give you rest." So the Apostle Paul, as we were finding through on our journey through the book of Romans, he prays a prayer about this God in the person of Jesus come to us to reveal Father, Son, and Spirit in fullness through his life, death, and resurrection. And he prays a prayer in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 that is a prayer of blessing and hope. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." That's the key. As you trust in him. May he fill you with joy and peace. But it comes, you have to do something, because he wants to give you joy and peace this Advent. He wants to take your weariness and give you something in its place. But you need to trust in him. You need to hold on to him. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that," and there's a consequence, "you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, the world out there, the world around us, the world that we work in, live in, have families in and friends in, desperately needs hope. And that hope, weary ones, needs to come from you. Needs to come from your encounter with the one who says, "Come to me who are weary, and I will give you rest," because he doesn't give us just rest. He gives us hope. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. And he keeps putting hope into us so that we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can take his hope into a weary world. "Come then, weary ones, and see the gift that we've been given this Advent." You don't have to wait till Christmas to open it. You can take it right now. Trust in him and be filled with his hope. Thank you, Paul.